Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, we're going to start the show by telling you that you are amazing human beings. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for all of the fantastic reviews on iTunes. Keep those bad boys coming. It's what lets me, iTunes, and the universe know that we're doing a good job. You want more of it, and keeps me out there creating a metric ton of content for you amazing people. If you're listening to the podcast, remember we've got a YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, take us on the road. Take me to the gym. Let's go party out in the world by subscribing to the podcast. No matter where you're listening, everything we offer, everything I know that I've used to build several multi-million-dollar companies over the last 20 years, it's all available at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. If you go there right now, I just put up, we're in December 2017, I just put up an amazing free training. Anyway, if you dig the show, you're going to love what you have at growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with Harry Manbeck from Green Scrub. Green Scrub has been serving the Calgary, Canada area for three, and I promised him we're not going to make fun of him for the Canada thing, so everyone, Clean Nation, just settle down. They've been serving Calgary for 3 years with commercial carpet and floor care. If you want to reach out to Harry and his team, you can hold them at www.greenscrub.ca. Harry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, my friend. So what on God's green earth drew you into the carpet / floor business, and how did you find Cleaning Nation?
I found Cleaning Nation basically looking for some help regarding proposals and all the excellent information available on how to do proposals, how to get more cleaning jobs, how to expand our cleaning business, and how to kind of weed out the best clients, because that's all what it's all about.
Sure. Did you find us on YouTube or the Facebook group, or what piece of Cleaning Nation did you run into?
Yeah, we found some videos, some of the excellent podcasts, basically how to talk to property managers, and that's what we're kind of going to ask about today.
Okay. Well, we only put out adequate, fair to Midland podcast. So if you were on an excellent podcast, I think you were on someone else's show. My apologies, but we're still glad that you're a part of it. All right. Well, what's shaking your world, man? How can I help you today?
So we're going to expand more on the dealing with property managers, because sometimes you run into gatekeepers. So first question is, how do you deal with a middleman, where it'd be like a site manager or a property manager in a condo situation when you're trying to get the proposal?
Okay, great question. A, because it's something I know how to help you with, so I can feel really smart today, which is always great. And B, I know Clean Nation well enough to know that they're having that same problem. You are not the only one that deals with that. So let's dive right in. First and foremost, the thing that we always want to do is understand that companies buy nothing, right? Microsoft doesn't buy anything. There's Susie in purchasing that puts her name on it and says, we're going to go with this vendor or that vendor. So we're always dealing with human beings. There is no such thing as a board. Even if there is a board, generally there's one person on that board that everyone kind of looks to, and he or she is the real decision maker. So we always want to make sure when we approach anybody, we're looking to what are their needs and how can I make their life easier / better, not how can I get what I want. So the paradigm that we want to go to is, how can I add more value to this human being? Understanding that the board is just made up of human beings. So this human being, or this group of human beings, how can I make their life better, with the understanding if I can make their life better, they're going to be more open to giving me money. Is that a fair foundation to build on, or any pushback yet?
Yeah, that makes sense. In the past, we've had okay experience with dealing with property managers, or those in that sense, or better with actual board members too, who sign the checks. So yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay. So that's an important mindset, because if we try and sell to a company, I've never sold anything to a company, and I've done $1 million deals, yeah, but they've always been with people, and I know how to help people, but I don't know how to help quote unquote companies. All right. So the good news is, this is all covered in depth in step 6 of the Clean Profit Method. But I'm going to hit you with as much as I can in the time that we've got. So the first and foremost thing is, we want to make sure we kind of rewind and do this before we even go on the appointment. So most people think the appointment starts when they show up. At that point, you could have already shot yourself in the foot or built yourself a really nice foundation. So before we even do this, we want to make sure when we're setting the appointment on the first phone call, and on something like this, when it's business to business, I would really encourage you to do a phone call, not set this up by text or email. So far, are you doing a phone call before you go out and see them, or is it some sort of they just text you to come, or some weird thing like that?
I guess the situation I'm having is, I've had meetings with property managers that got me absolutely nowhere.
Face-to-face meetings?
They do a lot of, Yeah, they do face-to-face meetings, and then they just don't tell you they're not using you until it's too late.
Okay, we're gonna solve all that. So, but yeah. the first part is you got to do it on the phone. So I'm assuming before you meet face-to-face, you have a phone conversation. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Most people blow right past the phone conversation. Like, yeah, you do this. Yeah, we do that. You want to do the work? Yeah, we want to do work. When can we come out and bid? Tuesday at 2. Great. And that's they think they did a good job. Terrible. We have to set ground rules. So the ground rules are going to be, and we can, you want to role play or you just want me to talk you through it?
Yeah, we can role play it. Sure.
Let's role play. You be a pain in the neck property manager and you got to play fair. Okay. Don't be totally unreasonable, but don't be a flat, like easiest guy in the world. Be kind of on the hard end of who you talk to. Okay. And really focus on being a property manager. You can listen to this later. So don't focus on learning right now. Just be the proper, just be a good property manager. It's kind of a pain in the neck deal.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Hey, this is Mike Green Scrub. What's going on?
Mike, I got this, property I want you to check out. We need 3 quotes, and you know, if you give me a deal, you can maybe look at it and see. I know I got to get the quote by board meetings tomorrow, so
goodness. You
go and check it out.
Well, I don't know. Generally, we don't do 3 bid situations because we are out there to solve pain, not to be the cheapest guy or gal. So we often lose to some homeless guy with a pushing a push broom or something, and it just kind of wastes everybody's time. So if you're looking for a low bid, we're probably not a fit.
Okay, well, I have this other property and it's new, so I don't even know what to expect. It's not the biggest property, but I don't know. What do you think about that one?
Size doesn't matter, buddy. We're here to help you. So tell me a little bit about what's going on. And then I would, so we'll step out of the role play for a second. So first of all, had he said, well, then fine, don't come out. We want the lowest bidder. Fantastic. Yeah. Just saved you an hour. I don't want to talk with somebody that's like, I'm going to go with the lowest bid. Screw you. Not screw you, but go waste somebody else's time. It's not going to be mine. The next thing I would have done with that property, I go, well, tell me about it. What made you call me? What made you call me today? What have you tried to do to solve it? I try to get a little bit of pain and see if he's got any pain. And if he has no pain, he's like, oh, I don't know. I just have you on the phone. I thought maybe you'd come out. I go, no, I will not. We have to have some sort of pain before I'm going to come out. So there has to. So this, the first one, he had pain. I've got a board meeting tomorrow and I need 3 bids. But had he not, most of the time they're either going to pivot and go, no, it's not about all the lowest bid. Obviously that comes into it, but what we really need is someone reliable or someone that's going to use a good chemical, whatever the thing is. And then I'm back willing to talk to him, or they're going to go, forget it. I'm not going to talk to you. We want the lowest price. And if that ain't you, goodbye. Either way, I'm happy. If he didn't pivot back to the first one, which is usually what they're going to do, and he went to a second property, I would do the same thing. Tell me why, what value do you want me to bring? So I'm not ever going out to give a price. Like, give a price for what? So I can propose to the board. Let me give you the best price. Do nothing. Don't do a blessed thing. It'll be free. Well, we can't do that. Yeah. Why not? Well, because the floors look like crap. So what? People are complaining. So? Well, if they complain, they'll leave. Oh, okay. Now, see what I'm saying? You got to get them to give you some sort of pain. Like, this is important to me, not just come out and give a bid. So I can, I can get 3. Yeah. We don't really care if you do a good job, a shit job, if you got, pardon my language, if you got illegal immigrants out there, if you're using caustic chemicals, if you're going to break stuff, if you're insured. We don't care about any of that. We just want the lowest price. Pass, pass, and pass. You got to get them to demonstrate some sort of understanding of, no, we do need insurance. We do want someone that knows what the heck that they're doing. We want quality materials. We have a real pain that we actually need to be solved, and we're willing to pay someone that is a professional that knows what the heck they're doing to solve that pain. That's kind of the deal that we need to strike somehow before I'm going to come out. And if they won't do that, if they're like, no, we just want lowest price, pass. So far, are we tracking, or have I said something to get us off track?
No, it makes sense. So let's say I was a better property manager and it flowed better and that was more reasonable.
Okay, so and I'm totally going to make this up, Harry, and you'll go, yeah, that's it. All right, so what it sounds like is you've got this new building, you've got $2 million invested, and you're afraid if you don't protect these floors that you spent $80,000 on, they're going to go bad, and 3 years from now, you're going to have to spend 80 grand in floors. Am I making it up, Harry? Are we on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. So you wanted me to come out and give you a bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. Before I come out, I want to just go over a couple things to make sure that you have a good experience. I have a good experience. Nobody's time gets wasted. Sound fair?
Yes.
Cool. First and foremost, it takes about 30 minutes for me to really understand exactly what you need, the floor. I'm going to have some questions. Some of them will seem relevant. Some of them won't. But I'm going to ask a bunch of questions to make sure I can give you a bid that's going to solve your problem. Not just the price, but the quality and quantity of work we do matches your expectations and you get what you want. Is it okay if I ask a bunch of stupid questions to make sure I give you a bid that actually solves your problem?
Sure.
Cool. And when I get out there, the first thing I'll do is turn off my phone, and you will have my full and undivided attention for 30 minutes. Is that something you can do on your end as well? Can we set a time that you're not going to be distracted? You'll have a full 30 minutes so we can really get this knocked out. We don't have to, you know, go back and forth 19 times.
Sure.
Cool. Last thing, and then we'll figure out a time. If I get out there and for whatever reason, I don't think we're the best fit, would you be okay if I just told you that? I always feel weird doing that, but would you be offended if I'm just like, hey, I don't think we're best fit, and maybe kind of push you somewhere else that would be able to take better care of you?
Sure.
Cool. And if for any reason we get out there and you don't think I'm a good fit, right? You don't like the cut of my jib. You think I'm ugly. We're too expensive. We're whatever. Doesn't matter. You just think I am not your guy. Would it be a tremendous amount to ask for you just to let me know?
Sure.
Appreciate it. And just so you know, Harry, at this point, I'm like, hey, you're giving me some one word answers. If I upset you, if I piss you, I'm going to make you engage, but I'll pass on that for now for time. Great. So if I come out there and I think we're a good fit, we're going to be able to do a great job for you, and you haven't been able to disqualify me, you think we're going to do a good job, what would you like to see happen next?
So it's the same. Sorry, I'll just get out of the conversation. It's the same format. I guess my question is, sometimes the property manager may play the price game behind your back, and you know somebody on the board and you have a strong relationship with the board, but the property manager isn't in line as much. I guess that was kind of another question.
Well, let's answer the question. Sometimes, so if I get whoever I'm talking with to say yes, mm-hmm. I'll tell you if you're not a fit. Yes, you can tell me if you're not a fit. And I ask him flat out, yeah. If we're not able to disqualify one another, what would you like to see happen next?
And I mean,
you're this guy that's playing games. So you say whatever the guy that's playing games would say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, with the board, I'm not the board. I just work for them, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, gosh,
I can't make the call.
So glad that you brought that up, because I have gone on so many appointments and frustrated so many people in your position. Yeah. I would love to save you that headache. What I found is we go out, we do this thing. I take a half hour of your time, and trust me, it is not a fun half hour. We're talking about floors and wax, and quite frankly, it's boring. It's my business that is boring. And then they go to the board, and the board has 14 other questions, and then they wait till the next meeting, and they invite me back, and I talk to them. And honestly, it's a cluster, and it's a mess, and it drives guys like you, and quite frankly, me nuts. What we've started doing that has gotten a lot better results for people exactly in your situation is we just meet at the board meeting. You give me all the questions that you think they're going to have. I prepare. I answer everybody's questions at that time, and we get it all handled right then. So we're not 3 months out where you guys need something, but the board hasn't met and your floors are getting trashed. We just get that all set up right now. So if that's the case, what I would encourage, what I found works best in this situation is for me to come to the board, present to them, and instead of having three meetings later, we just get this thing knocked out.
That's it. So you're giving them the option to meet with the board.
Depending on the relationship that we've had and the time that we had, I might not go unless I get to meet with the board, because I don't. And again, a lot of this is predicated on your ability to have a marketing system that brings in a high quality and quantity of pre-sold leads. So again, when folks call me, they already know me, like me, trust me through the podcast. They've spent hundreds of hours with me. I don't do a lot of fooling around with, well, I don't know, I don't think you can help me or not. I'm like, hey, if you don't know me from now, I've only got 300 hours of podcasts out there. Go listen to those and come back when you're ready. So again, we have to assume that you've got some sort of system bringing you pre-qualified, pre-screened leads that know, like, and trust you. You've already educated them and indoctrinated them, right? If someone comes to me, certainly for one-on-one cleaning or cleaning training, they already know what I expect, what I'm asking them to do, that it's difficult, that it's limited, there's only certain blah, 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 blah. We don't have to educate them on that. They're pre-educated. So a lot of this is dependent on systems that are going to do that for you. Even so, you want to, so all that to say, I'm not going to go out unless I feel like I have a confident thing that I'm going to be treated fairly. This is going to be an honest conversation. I can actually help them, right? If they're looking for the lowest price, I know I can't help them. I'm not even interested in helping them. So pass. So yes, to answer your very short question with a long answer, depending on the time that we've spent, I may not even go out unless I can speak to the board. If I go out, and that's why I always ask at the beginning, what would you like to see happen next? Because then they'll usually tell you, oh, I got to talk to Jim. Well, then we better have Jim at the meeting. Oh, I got to present it to the board. Let's just skip three steps and have me at the board and just get this thing knocked out. And then the last thing is, and I generally don't do this, but just so you have an extra tool in your belt, if for whatever reason they say you can't come to the board and you still think it's worth your time to go on, now you've got to do the backup plan, which quite frankly isn't as good, but I still want to give you something so you're not just naked. You want to give that guy key phrases and word tracks that he or she is going to repeat to the board. So you have to kind of, instead of now selling him, you're literally teaching him how to sell the board on why they should choose you. The only way you can do that is to understand the board's pain and his pain, because you've got to solve his pain for him, and then you've got to give him the words. Now that you've solved his pain and he knows that you can solve his pain, you've got to give him the tools to show the board that he can solve their pain by choosing you. It's a more complex sale. It can be done. I don't like fooling with them, but again, I didn't just because I wouldn't take it doesn't mean you shouldn't. So did that make sense in terms of now you've got two jobs? You've got to first and foremost get him to understand that you're the only person that can solve his pain properly. And then you've got to give him the tools to help the board understand that you can solve their pain, which is probably different than his pain. So you don't want him telling them what sold him, because what's going to sell them is very different. And the more I get into this, the more hopefully you're seeing this doesn't even make any sense to do. You have to get in front of the board, because the board is going to go, I can get this done for a nickel. I'm assuming you don't want illegal people. No, we don't want illegal. I'm assuming you want made in the USA goods that are going to last more than 6 seconds. Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, these are the questions I need to ask the board. So what good does it make for you? Basically, you're saying the board wants a car. Can you give me a bid on a car? I'm like, well, I have a lot of questions. Well, you can't ask any questions. What's the car cost? Well, shoot, man, I can get your car for a nickel, but I don't think it's going to be the car that you want. I can spend $1 million on a car, but you probably want that one either. So if you want me to do my job right, I've got to talk to the people and understand what their pain is. Guess what? If you've got 6 kids and safety is a big deal, you want a whole different car than if you're 22 and want to go faster than everybody else on the road. I need that kind of information before I can give you a bid. So again, I'm kind of getting deep, but does that answer your question, or you still have some fear?
No, it's fine. I guess here's another way to look at it. How do you talk to or try to get in contact with a decision maker on the condo board?
I go to the gatekeeper again, so when we talk to the gatekeeper, we have to understand she or he has a different need than the condo board. So the gatekeeper,
for sure,
is there, his or her job is to let the right people in, right? If it's his wife or somebody that's important, or her husband, if it's someone important and they don't let them through, she or he, the gatekeeper, looks bad and feels bad.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a chucklehead salesperson and they do let them through, now they feel bad as well. So that's kind of their job. So your only job on the gatekeeper is to help them understand that you're not going to be wasting the decision maker's time, that the decision maker wants to talk to you. So again, going back, I really would prefer to have you have a system that has the gatekeeper call you. That's always so much powerful. I make zero calls to cleaning companies going, hey, can I get some money? I'll make your business. Screw that. I got no interest. They all call me or email me or say, hey, please help me. So first and foremost, let's put out systems and content that's constantly bringing them to us. And then we're just dealing with people that are calling us, which is far better. But if in the construct that you gave me of, nope, I don't have any of those systems, I have to go out and call them, you're selling the gatekeeper on, if you let me talk to the decision maker, they're going to be happy. So I'd probably do something like, hey, I always start with a pattern interrupt, something to kind of disrupt the conversation, let them know immediately I'm not a salesperson. Because if you pick up the phone, Harry's property manager, how can I help you? And I go, hi, my name is Mike. I'm with Green Scrub. Is there any way I could talk with a decision maker when it comes here? Like instantly, just by the pattern of my voice. It doesn't matter if I say, if I go, hi, I'm Mike, I'm here to talk about things that are things about things, you immediately know I'm a salesperson, because that's exactly how a salesperson sounds. But if you pick up the phone and go, hey, Harry from Harry's property manager, I go, hey, this is Mike, what's shaking? Immediately you're like, well, this, hold on, red flag, this doesn't sound, I can't put this person in the bucket of yes, this is should go through, or no, this shouldn't. So you're gonna ask for more information. This is Mike, how can I help you? I don't know if you can help me. I need a huge favor and we've just met and you're probably never gonna help me. So all of a sudden now they're intrigued. Oh, well, this isn't what, I don't know, maybe I can help you, what's going on? I don't know, Harry, this is a huge favor. And if I was there, I'm calling you on the phone, because if I was there, you'd punch me in the face for asking. See how now all of a sudden they're like, whoa, this is, no salesperson has ever talked to them like that. They're going to go, well, I can probably help you. Go, I need to talk to the guy that is going to give me a bunch of money to redo your floors, because my boat payment ain't going to make itself. But I have no idea who to talk to. And your job is to keep me away from talking to that person, because he thinks I'm a loser. If you were me, what would you do? You see how that kind of a conversation is, A, you're entertaining them, they're having fun, and they are now emotionally on your side. Oh, this guy's not a salesperson. He sounds like a nice guy. I want to help him. So however you want to do that, I would use pattern interrupts and sounding very different than a salesperson to get them to help you. And my favorite question is, if you were me, how would you get to talk to him? And they'll tell you, oh, he loves donuts. Bring him donuts. I knew I could count on you, Harry. Thanks for hooking me up. What do you like? I can't just bring him donuts. Can I bring you donuts? What do you want? So you just start building a relationship and talking like a human being as opposed to, hi, this is Mike. I'm from Mike's Cleaning Service. And if you allow me to talk to the property, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Does that answer your question?
What if you know more about the property and the board, but because of high turnover or property management changes, it's hard to get lost in the shuffle. Let's say you actually know, or you've done proposals for the board and they know you a little bit. I guess you'd start with the board.
Back out on this answer because we're way over on time. I would really have them call me. So I would do a shock and awe package. And again, this is all in the Clean Profit Method. Step 6 goes over all this in detail. I would probably have a shock and awe package that would like be a Trojan horse. It would go there. They'd open it. There'd be a video. There'd be a bunch of stuff. It would blow them away. There'd be candy or food and be like, hey, have some popcorn and watch this video. I would blow them away the shock and awe package that was personalized to them. So that's the short answer. That said, I've been yakking, and we're already at time, and I'm dying to. I know you've got some smarts in there, and I'm dying for you to share it with Clean Nation. So I'm going to shut up. We're going to hit the lightning round. You're going to answer 3 quick questions with 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or professional?
For me?
Yes, sir.
Best piece of advice I've ever heard. Test everything.
Test everything?
Yeah.
Gosh, that is so not said and so smart. That is like the boring secret of how business works. If you just test everything, I couldn't agree more, man. That's a great secret because people don't know it. Test everything. Mm-hmm. Question 2, on the flip side, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? Maybe we can learn from you.
I'd say the biggest mistake is not finding out what your clients want and guessing all the time.
Oh, gosh, you are good. This is not your first rodeo, Mr. Manbeck. That is absolutely well said. Last question. What's one idea, something easy to implement, really easy to implement, that Cleaning Nation can do right away that will make their business or their lives just a little bit better? Just something easy to implement to improve their business, their lives.
Go on one of these podcasts.
Oh, there you go. And Cleaning Nation, just so you know, we neither pay anyone to be a guest, but we don't charge you. You get free coaching. If you would like to be on the podcast, Natalie is our producer. She's who you want to talk to. NAT@growmycleaningcompany.com. If you want to take Harry's excellent advice and try and be a guest, that's where you apply. Anyway, Harry, thanks so much for joining us. I dig your kind of unique perspective, even though it's Canadian. We're going to let it slide. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Harry's show notes page and every blessed thing I have done or created to help you grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.